All right. I'm almost ashamed to give this talk because it's very thin in material. There's not going to be a lot of information that is passed, but mostly attitudes and ideas about things, and even those are not very deep. When we left off yesterday, we were looking at the difficulties of complexity. Like astrological homunculi introduce all kinds of complications. There are various levels of activity and spirals within other spirals. And this is not an easy thing to do. We wanted to get to the right level of specificity. We wanted to be as exact as we could about getting to where a problem was. And that kind of location is a difficult thing to do. Now, part of the difficulty lies in the consciousness of the practitioner, of the agent, and some of it lies in the consciousness of the patient. This whole difficulty is one that bothers all of society. How detailed do we go, or how specific do we get about things? It's, for example, this is a problem that bothers science a lot. Physics, as an example, is almost insanely microscopic, the way it looks at things. Physicists keep looking for smaller and smaller particles, and they think that if they find the smallest particle, that they will have the building block of the cosmos. They find worlds of particles within other worlds of particles, and they are exceedingly microscopic. They're trying to get down to the smallest level possible and then build up from there. They see particles as the source of energy. And because of that, they have difficulty understanding things. They can't see how something at what appears to be a great distance in space can influence something else if everything is in discrete particles. It's called influence at a distance, and that's a major problem in physics. And they go through all sorts of contorted mathematics and physical theory in order to work with things like that. In biology, back at physics, the physicists never realize, and they would laugh at the concept that the particle is a condensation of the energy and not the source of the energy. And they don't see it as a focus. That's because they're always looking materialistically at little discrete physical things. In biology, the same thing happens. They look to microscopic DNA to understand all of the problems of biological form. And if one says that form develops out of a matrix of energy, and the DNA is just something that is like a focal mirror that brings that energy into a material form, they'll think you're crazy. Just like a physicist will think you're crazy if you see a particle as a condensation of energy. In fact, there have been scientists, most notably Rupert Sheldrake, who says that there is an energy field around a seed, and that as a plant grows out of a seed, that energy field shrinks, and that it in fact becomes the basis for the physical form that develops. So they have, in materialism, things are just seen backwards. They think matter is the source of everything, and they think that the microcosm rather than the macrocosm is where everything comes from. So Plato, in the development of Western culture, Plato said, if we want understanding, we always look to the large, we always look to the macrocosm, but instead society has followed Aristotle, who always looked to the smaller things. So what we've been trying to do, or what we tried to do in that example at the end of the talk yesterday, was to look at how one goes from generals to specifics, from the big picture down to little picture. All right, now I'm probably lost from my notes. All right, let's get back to a little bit toward astrology. We're trying to get to this process of microcosm and macrocosm, and we're trying to look at it in terms of health and in terms of healing. Now, if you show a doctor something like an astrological chart with the head having Aries superimposed and the neck having Taurus superimposed, the doctor will laugh at that and say that, you know, if you say something like, well, there's a problem in Gemini, so the general area of the lungs is likely to weakness and infection at this time, that would be unacceptable to the doctor. The doctor doesn't want to think that way at all. And if you try to say that it was a result of a certain kind of consciousness in your, you know, in your waking consciousness that produced the susceptibility for there to be a weakness in the lungs at a given time, the doctor would laugh at you and he would say that that's guilty rationalization. Now, I have to be honest and tell you that the first time I looked at a chart that had Aries on the head and Taurus on the neck and Gemini on the lungs, I laughed at it. I saw that as being very simple-minded. But that was before I really tried to precipitate thoughts. And when you have an idea that's universal, or when you have clouds of ideas and out of them you try to precipitate specific clear thoughts, when you come to that kind of an experience in your consciousness, it's much easier to accept things like the lungs being ruled by Gemini. So experience clears up some of our stupidities. Now, we went through an example yesterday of looking at a broken phalange, and we tried to give that as an example of going from universals to particulars. And I tried especially to show how difficult it is to do that. It's difficult because technical astrology is difficult. And when you get into astrology, you can get into mountains of technicalities. And it's not a healthy thing to do. You can have complications upon complications upon complications. And there are people out there that do it with and without computers. They do marvelous amounts of research and study into things. They don't know a lot about human nature usually, but they come out with things. I think that is a mistaken notion. That is, again, very indirect. It is not like pointing to consciousness to try to get at the heart of the matter, to try to get at that one cell that may be the origin of an infection that spreads throughout the lungs. But that's, you know, that's how it works. Astrology becomes cumbersome. It becomes too much. Astrology can help, even if you are clairvoyant, as Max Heindel was clairvoyant. He found that astrology was a great aid for focusing his clairvoyance and for being able to have something to contemplate on without just looking at what was happening through clairvoyant observation. And that's very important. But Max Heindel, if you read all of his books on astrology, you'll find out that his astrology is not very technical. In fact, it's rather simple. And a lot of people pass it over because they think this is a good beginning, but you have to get beyond this, without realizing that there is a degree of technicality that is appropriate to what you're trying to do. And that appropriate degree of technicality is extremely important. It's something like statistics. If there's a possibility of 98% of all people not having an illness and someone else having 2% of 2% having that illness, you want to know whether you're in the 2% or in the 98%, and you don't want to go into all kinds of statistical regressions and things of that nature. So, you can tell from very simple astrology the basic attitudes of a person. And if you work with those basic attitudes, you get what you need. It's not some attitude that maybe happens 4 times a year for an hour or something like that. And astrology can find those things. And because it's something that you think every day. Suppose you have a negative attitude that you're afraid of something. Maybe from childhood on you were brought up within a religion of fear or something like that. Just to be able to change that one attitude might change your entire life a great deal. And so this is why we try to get to the appropriate level of technology. When we do this, we usually don't do it as an exercise. Yesterday when we talked about if we were given a horoscope and a given day and we were told to find out what was going to happen on that given day, that is an exercise. It works much better if one is purposeful. That is, if we want to help, and we understand someone who is in need of healing, somebody who is suffering, somebody who has pain and things like that, we want to help them. And a lot can be done, at least in the beginning, a lot can be done with very simple astrology, very simple herbalism, things that are, you know, that anybody can do. It's the obvious things that have to be changed. Now, what happens with astrology is we can be indulgent. And we can indulge ourselves in astrological understanding And there is an attitude that we can get that we know things about people that they don't even know themselves. And we can say we know everything about them. And we can go deeper and deeper into technicality and be at the same time psychologically misfit because we aren't taking care of business that needs to be taken care of. Astrology is very powerful and it's very comprehensive. In fact, it is more powerful and comprehensive than we need most of the time. And so we're often tempted to dive into that world and go more and more into detail. It's all right if we want to do this for ourselves. It's a nice hobby. It's something like doing crosswords or doing painting or something like that. But if we want to work on self-improvement, usually it begins with the simple things and the most obvious things in our character. And if we take care of them, we'll be led into the more difficult things and into the more subtle things as time goes on. Most illnesses and physical conditions can be easily seen, and they can be associated with very obvious astrological traits. So, we want to learn astrology and apply astrology the same way we learn to read. We begin with the simple ABCs, and we learn elementary pronunciation, and eventually we get to things like compound complex sentences and Plutzkamm perfect tenses and all of those kinds of things. But we have to do the basic things first. So in astrology, you can go quite far in the simple things with just a little keyword booklet. I give them away all the time, and by working with them, you can get at what is necessary. This is a big danger in our society. People put themselves up as authorities, and we seem to admire and have great respect and reverence for people who can be very technical and very detailed, and they can talk in a language that we don't understand. And that may be fine for social appearances, but it doesn't do very much for knowing yourself or helping people out. Now, we mentioned yesterday that the famous British astrologer Alan Leo was given a horoscope, and he was given a date, and he was asked what happened to that individual on that date. And he worked and he worked and he studied, and after several days he came up with the answer, and I got it in these notes, that the answer was that he found that the person entered into a monastery. And that was a very, very impressive thing. Now, not everybody is capable of accomplishing that kind of a feat. It takes a lot of work, a lot of knowledge, and a lot of experience. Not everybody wants to be capable of accomplishing that kind of a feat. And not everyone should try to accomplish that kind of a feat. There are much better things to do with our lives. Astrology is very, very marvelous. And from it, we can learn wonderful things, but we can also get lost in it. As we mentioned earlier, Max Heindel was a clairvoyant, and he used astrology to guide his clairvoyance and to come to understandings of what things meant. Now, Max Heindel knew about technical astrology. He can describe methods of prediction, for example, that he didn't use because they were way too technical and spent too much time with that. He describes in magazine articles knowing people that had all kinds of astrological technique, and he didn't belittle them. He marveled at their ability to do that kind of work, but he didn't participate in it. It takes a certain amount of forbearance to keep things so that you are at the right level or the appropriate level to get at what is necessary. All of the time that is spent going into astrology would probably be much better spent working on things that actually lead to self-improvement. By practicing gaining control of our thoughts, by observing under what circumstances we behave in what way, so that we're prepared that the next time we don't make the same kind of mistake. Beside being complicated, astrology is very indirect. The more complicated astrology becomes, the more time one spends in mathematics or in formulae of putting this together with that and that together with that, and the less time one spends in appreciating and loving people. And that is a wrong kind of business. Now, there are some people who have a calling for getting into technical astrology, and for them it is fine. But if you are not a person with that calling, don't bother yourself with it. Don't think that you are inferior because you're not wanting to go into that kind of complication. Now, by applying astrology, even simple astrology, you can understand that someone for the next 3 months is going to be going through perhaps a blue period or a giddy period or something like that. You can determine those kinds of things. You can do it quite simply. But in order to understand where someone is at right now in terms of astrology, using various different kinds of progressions and transits and things like that, it is something that's going to be a lot of work, hours and hours of work. And that means time that we don't always have. And so there are better ways to do this than to be involved with technical astrology. Now, to some astrologers, words like this would sound like blasphemy. But it isn't. This doesn't take anything away from astrology. There are other things that work better for certain kinds of circumstances. Astrology may still be the most grand, and it may indicate things that all of the other sciences of this type to come to human understanding can't get to, but in some cases it's not appropriate. Now, earlier in life, I had to do a lot of shoot from the hip kind of work in trying to help people. I would be put on the spot, and I would have to come up in short order with something that was helpful to someone. And I didn't have the time to spend hours and hours on a horoscope, doing all of the mathematical work and then pondering what it means, and of course checking all the mathematical work, which is a thing in itself. But if I needed to know where somebody was at the moment, it wasn't an affront to astrology to just give them a sheet of blank paper with pen and ink and ask them to write about 10 sentences and put their signature on the bottom. And that's immediate. Now, if you're a clairvoyant, you can look at the flow of the ink and you can see the pictures of a person's life and you can read right into their soul. But most people are not clairvoyants. But nonetheless, handwriting is a graph. It is a delineation of consciousness in the moment. And as one goes through various different thoughts associated with making the various different letters, that it is a graphic description of the consciousness that produced that handwriting. The way it is right now, not the way it was 10 years ago. You can't be the handwriting that's going to be 10 years from now in the future. And when you can see where a person is at right now, that's much more expedient than spending hours of work on astrology to understand where they're at right now. It's quite marvelous. So this is the kind of thing that, you know, I have very little to say today. But what I'm trying to say is apply what is appropriate. Now, you can be very technical about handwriting analysis, and you can measure angles, and you can count how many things are this way or that way, how much they lean, and where the strokes are heavy, and what particular letters the person has problems with, you know, that what they represent. You can do all of that. You can get it complicated with that just as you can with astrology. But that's not always appropriate. To find out if a person is tense right now and needs to be freed from that kind of tension, that is something that's helpful, useful right now. Now, this is not meant to be a pitch for graphology. It's just meant to indicate that there are things that are available to us, and it doesn't take a lot of education to get to the degree of proficiency that we can help people that complement each other. And in terms of knowing where things are in the moment, graphology, I find, is very complementary to astrology. Now, computerization has taken away a lot of the complications. You know, what used to take hours of computations in order to predict where a person was at astrologically can be done in seconds now with a computer. But it doesn't take away from the fact that you're still being over complicated about things. The best thing that we can do is to apply ourselves to unfold spiritually. And when we unfold ourselves spiritually, we have intuition to know where a person is at, and we even develop tools to perceive where a person is at. Probably a few of you in this room have had waking dreams where you have woken up on the other side and you're working as an invisible helper. And in such a state, the leader of an invisible helper team will help you with your consciousness to see what's going on inside the body as it's going on. Much better than any tomography or x-rays or ultrasounds or anything like that. You can see what is transpiring in the body, and you can see where something is misfunctioning, and that is clear, that is direct, and that is seeing and knowing. And that's where we want to put our efforts when we have spare time. Not in things that are indirect, but things that are direct and things that develop us as well as helping the patient to develop. All right, now this leads to a homunculus that I want to talk about that is, I think, is very valuable. And I've used this homunculus from time to time in life. I don't much anymore because I'm not called on for that, but I probably will be at some time. It was mentioned in Earl Cooper's talk yesterday. Now, I don't know whether this homunculus is astrological. It probably is, because it shows a whole human being, and it shows a whole human being in terms of the function of organs and systems more than it does in terms of the forms of organs or the shape of things. It does so more in a chemical way. And it's simple enough, and it's something, again, that doesn't require a great deal of technicality in order to learn. Again, we're talking about iris diagnosis. By looking in the eye and learning to find the different organs and learning to find the different systems in the body and the biochemical apparatus and how it affects the coloration of the eye and how it affects when things appear in there that are out of the ordinary. Now, this iris diagnosis is not a substitution for astrology. If you can find the same thing by astrology, but you'd have to know, you'd have to look at the whole horoscope biochemically, and you'd have to find an appropriate degree of going down into the systems within systems and getting to the homunculi within other homunculi in order to get to it. But it's just, this is something, again, that augments or that helps someone. We must remember, we can't be partisan and just love astrology or just love graphology or just love iris diagnosis. We have to work with what is appropriate. We always keep in mind that this is a patient that is suffering and that this is a patient who is capable of making the changes in their life, whether they be physical changes like changes in diet or exercise, or whether they be changes in attitude. And what we're trying to do when someone is coming to us for help is we try to help them to understand what it is that is causing their discomfort, which thoughts have become physical conditions through the process of being lived out from being a thought to an emotion to an action and to a physical, finally to a physical state. Now, most things of iris diagnosis, using those, putting those two words together, you use the word diagnosis. Diagnosis is something that tells us, diagnosis means taking apart to come to knowledge. Literally is what the word diagnosis means. And it's a form of diagnosis like a lot of other forms. And again, we cannot be partisan. There are things that regular medicine does, and it does very well. And many forms of diagnosis from medical medicine is, you know, regular materia medica, is very good. I have a regular physician, and he's not antithetical to my outlook on life. He's aware of what I'm going to do, and he isn't even chagrined when I don't follow his methods of treatment. And the reason he's probably not chagrined is because it doesn't cost the HMO very much if I go out and get herbs or if I take acupuncture rather than his physical therapy. We're on good terms. And he's not unsympathetic. And he even watches a television show that, on which I give talks from time to time. And so I appreciate being able to understand, because sometimes about ourselves we have very strange notion. I had all kinds of pains in one arm at one time, and I thought they were referred pains from perhaps having a gall condition, because that can produce referred pains. And it didn't take him but a few seconds and a few x-rays to say, you have a pinched nerve. And then by the use of acupuncture and with the help of a spiritual healer, the pinched nerve is no more. The potentiality is there. So that what I'm trying to say is that when you're suffering, you take whatever is not harmful to you to come to an understanding of your suffering. What it is actually that's going wrong, and then you'll have to, in your own heart and in your own conscience, you'll have to understand why it is going wrong. What did you do to have this pinched nerve condition? So, suppose you have someone who is just beginning to develop a condition, and that condition is too faint for medical diagnosis to determine. And suppose you have looked in the horoscope and you have found perhaps an offending planet that is indicating what is behind his condition. But you don't know precisely where it is, you know, because there are influences at a distance. For example, if you have the wrong kind of diet and attitude, you might have a gouty toe. And that gouty toe isn't because you've done something wrong with your toe. It's because that is the place in the circulatory system where the uric acid gets deposited most easily, and it's not likely to be moved on. But the real source is somewhere else. Perhaps you're eating too much protein or eating too much meat or something like that, and you have a very self-satisfied, phlegmatic attitude about it, and that's what's causing it. Now, if you look astrologically, a planet may rule a major system in the body, like the circulatory system, or it may rule several organs, or it may rule a gland or something like that. And you're trying to home in on the source of the troubled area. We tried to do that yesterday by looking at a broken phalange. How do you astrologically determine that, you know, on such and such day, this horoscope is going to have a broken phalange and you're going to know exactly which one it is? That's a hard thing to do. It's very technical. But if you take a look in the person's eye and you look at the and you look at the iris, it takes some experience. There are excellent books and there are excellent charts that you can find on the internet, and there are a lot of good photographs, and you can notice little red spots here and there, or little yellowing and white spots among the coloration. And this will indicate to you the part of the body that is suffering, the part of the body that is being misused. If you listen to what Earl said yesterday, he was talking about having a hypersodium condition, way too much sodium in his system, and that affected the whole eye, all the way around the iris. And what happens is that there is sort of a streaming white color that comes in the iris. So this is a homunculus. The whole body is on the right and the left side. There are charts that you can see that the whole body is laid out in the iris. For example, at one time I had cancer, and in the bronchial area, in my iris, it was clear that there was something that was major that was wrong there. After I had the cancer surgically resected, that spot cleared up. There is scar tissue, and even the scar tissue shows up in the iris. But there was another spot where my liver is, and it indicated that there was a difficulty there. And it turned out that I had and still have liver cysts. And it shows very clearly where the situation is. So you don't have to do hours and hours of astrology. But if you have the Irish diagnosis, you can cut away many of those hours and you can come to the astrological understanding much more quickly. So, when you have astrology, the purpose of astrology is to understand the attitudes that have led to the condition that a person has. Illness occurs by default. We should go on with our bodies until we have worn them out. But if our consciousness in our bodies is not right, that consciousness in our bodies will produce malformations or breakdowns of the body. This reflects back to us the attitude that is imperfect. And the attitude and our spiritual being is going to live on much longer after even our physical body is gone. And unless we change our attitudes, making a physical change will not help anything. It will just remove a symptom. That sometimes that's necessary. Even the Bible tells us that if thine eye offend thee, cut it out. And there are times that we have to do things like that. But what is most important is that we change our attitude. The spiritual part of healing is every bit as important as the physical part. And if we only work on the physical part, we're not doing right. If we work on the spiritual part, very often, provided that it is not an acute and very advanced situation, by changing the spiritual part, the physical part will follow afterwards. So, this leads us to one last little point. I'm very sorry that I don't have a lot to say this morning. And it leads directly to why we are studying astrological homunculi. We are saying that the little human beings, the little zodiacs that we find in the iris of the eye, or that we find in the phalanges, or that we find in the spine, or that we find in the colon, all of them represent the spirals within spirals of the evolutionary process. What is called the primordial atom of seven periods or seven great days of creations and seven globes within those periods and revolutions of consciousness taking us through infinitely many different kinds of environments to bring out things from the spirit that would not come out any other way. Our bodies, our dense physical bodies, are our oldest and most precise record of what we have developed. They are something that are a residue of what we can manifest at one given time as a physical body, of all of those past states of experience of our physicality, even when our physicality wasn't in this kind of matter, but was in the stuff made of thoughts. So, we are living in living records of what we have experienced and what we have learned. And the different organs and the different tissues and such represent conditions that we have gone through. And what we have learned about form in the process of that and adapting it to current conditions in the chemical region of the dense physical world. We are adapting and we're producing bodies that relate to this world. Now, when these various tissues or various parts or organs or something like that are abused. This results in illness, or it results in disease, or something like that. And how well we have learned what we have learned, and how well we have applied what we have learned, is what is indicated by the illness. There are many sides to Saturn. There are many sides to Jupiter and to each of the planets and signs, and the inflections of them work out through the different astrological homunculi. So this is what we're trying to get at. It is how we are with our consciousness, working with the fruits of our consciousness from the past. Now, in all of this, we have been talking a lot about illness and finding out what is wrong with us. This is probably a little bit stupid. We suffer, and it's not stupid to try to help people who are suffering and to bring them to consciousness of what has gone on. But it's much better, as we said in the talk last evening, until a cause becomes a consequence, or until an action becomes a reaction, it can always be changed. And this is one of the values of understanding astrology, and understanding astrology on whatever degree of detail, whatever homunculus we need to work with, that is very valuable. Preventative medicine is so important. It's not as dramatic. It's sort of like what I don't know whether it's a cop-out or not, but the CIA and the FBI say, well, you don't know about it, but we have saved you from all kinds of threats where people were going to blow things up. And I literally believe them. I think that they do break up all kinds of things before they get to being terrorist actions. When it becomes a terrorist action and there's something like the Trade Center goes down, we realize we have a problem. Only we haven't really realized the extent of our problem, and we haven't realized how to deal with the people. You know, you don't go around blowing up buildings just for the fun of it. And we haven't learned how to deal with that problem in a sense of preventative medicine. It happens that if we live a right way, we can avert a potential tragedy, just like the FBI can prevent a horrible tragedy from happening to humanity. And this is where astrology is very important. It indicates that we can make the changes that are necessary so that we can get the most out of life and do so the most efficiently without having to suffer. When you have taken something and carried it so far that it becomes a disabling condition, that is an inefficient way to grow. By default, if we let things go and they get out of hand and we don't take care of them, this is what's going to happen. And that part is magnificently efficient, because you can't doubt anymore that something is wrong when you have a very wrong condition. But it's inefficient. You know, there's so much more that you can enjoy in life, that you can appreciate in life, that you can experience if you're fully enabled. And being fully enabled means to culture what is ripe for us to be cultured in this life. And that is what astrology shows us. It shows us what we are ripe to do. what we can do and what we can carry out to what degree. And so if we're looking at astrological homunculi, we can see how deep into manifest existence in matter, in our bodies, that we can carry things out. Being a parent is probably one of the best ways of learning this, because we can learn by looking at the horoscope how to bring out the positives and to avoid the negatives. We can't do all of it, because a lot of it has to be by experience, but we can, by looking ahead, learn what attitudes to give to the kids as they're coming up. So we can foster positivity, we can foster efficiency, and we in thereby prevent disaster, but even more important, we can culture positive experiences in life. That's about most of the things I have to say today. I'm sorry that it's a little bit thin in information, but we'll try to do more tomorrow. And for now, let's just close with the Rosicrucian students' prayer. O God, increase our love for Thee, so that we may serve Thee better from day to day. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Thank you.
I had heard that the ear is like, you would say, a small version of like the baby in the womb, and that the lower part is like the head, whereupon it's not good to do things like ear piercing and stuff, because it's like piercing the head. Have you ever heard
that's of that's something I don't have experience with, but the man sitting on the end there with the glasses has a lot of experience with that, and he could tell you a lot. He is a practitioner of acupuncture, and he pierces a lot of ears, but he pierces them for less vain ways.
Okay. What you listed a few different things: the eye, the spine, the colon.
Well, yeah, we're going to go into more of those as the week goes on.
So you're going to tell us what more of them are later?
Yes, some of them. You know, there's infinite number of them, because if you think about it, going right down to the molecular level, we are a combination of spirals. And some of them are on a very minute level, and some of them are on a very big level. Like one revolution from the head to the foot is from Aries to Pisces. That's one right there. That's the biggest homunculus. The real big one is the one that's in the heavens. And totally, our body is in the, even in the physical sense, it is a reflection of what created it, or the whole creative process. And the whole creative process is a cyclical spiral process. And each of those spirals is a homunculus. And there are other spirals within them. And so this is what I'm trying to get at. And the whole business is, how do you get to the right level to see where a person is at and where they need to remedy things? Because sometimes, you know, like a little spiral out of focus can cause the next larger spiral up to have difficulties. That's, for example, the principle of an eccentric. A principle of an eccentric, it's a circle, but it's got one hard area in it, you know, like whether it's a steam engine driving like that, but things are off balance, and it can either be used for work or it can cause a lot of problems. And so getting at the appropriate level of consciousness within the physical body is we're sort of foraging in these talks. This is not a comprehensive thing like this. This means this, and that I can carry it all the way through. That's way too big for me. I don't have that ability. But
you know. So you said head to foot from Aries to Pisces, meaning that each of the different signs have some connection with a part in the body.
Yes, with an area of the body. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I've had that iris. thing done, and that is very, very interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can do it real easily now. You can get a little hyperbolic mirror, and you just take a bright light and you shine the light at your iris, and you look in the hyperbolic mirror, and then you got to invert it because it's a mirror image, and then you can look at the books where they have, you know, there are loads of pictures on the internet where they have, where they show various conditions, and then they show what the iris looks like in those conditions, and it you know. It's a quick way to find out what a whole system is like. Any other questions? Well, thank you very much. We're exactly at 1 hour. How do you like that?
Wow.